There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Just to update a couple things here. People have been asking a question way back earlier in the hour. Last hour was, could Congressman Carl move forward the Defense Appropriation Act? Could he move forward to have the Kaneka sausage made so we wouldn't be in low supply? And now I just pointed out, when somebody said also a question about meat prices, why it wouldn't be gouging, I said, we need a state of emergency to make all these things happen. This texter says Governor Ivey needs to declare a state of emergency, call out the Alabama National Guard, and put them to work in the Kaneka sausage factory. It's Chris with the text there in Mobile. Chris, thank you. We'll see what happens here. If the governor has been alerted, I'm not sure if the governor is alerted to the situation with Kaneka sausage. But let me lay this out again. Monroe sausage, great Alabama company. Hall's Meats, their sausage, real local, Chickasaw. We've got places to go to get more sausages. So, and people are telling me, sending me pictures now. They're going into grocery stores and taking pictures of the empty spots. Y'all got jobs to do this, but we'll keep our eyes on this and the Kaneka shortage issue. But remember, other Alabama companies like Monroe Sausage, great company, and of course Hall's Meats right here locally, making fantastic sausage. All right, actually, let me check in with another part of the state as we have a discussion here with Ray Mellick, editor-in-chief of 1819news.com. Ray, sausage issues have gripped South Alabama. Y'all are dealing with weather. We're dealing with sausage shortage.
I'm a huge Kaneka and Monroe sausage fan. I'm glad at least one of them is still working, but that might be a national emergency if Kaneka sausage isn't producing sausage.
Yeah, I mean, if Defense Appropriations Act, get the production up, have the governor declare a state of emergency, something going on. On the serious side, state of emergency, I know it was talked about earlier on the station, the situation in Winfield, and I want to point out, too, where you are now near Shelby County, y'all are under some, even though it's been just kind of partly cloudy here and sticky, y'all have had some real rough weather up that way.
Yeah, certainly nothing like what Winfield is, and we've got a reporter up there that will do some flyover video, drone footage, and things that we hope to have up on the site this afternoon at some point. I'm actually in right outside of Wilsonville, which is on the sort of Shelby County Talladega line. I know Calera, it was hit with some pretty strong, possibly light tornado last night. You know, trees and some damage, but nothing compared to Winfield. But we're still facing a pretty good storm, a lot of lightning, thunder. Where I am right now, we don't have any tornado warnings, but we do have the sort of severe weather going on still. And then it looks like it will continue for most of the day.
Hopefully everything is just doesn't get worse than like it did. I saw some of the video and pictures from Winfield, and hopefully that doesn't happen anywhere else in Alabama during this during this front passage. Looking at your website at 1819news.com, it's funny because I said something to one of your coworkers that I was doing today was, you know, what should the state of Alabama's New Year's resolution be? What should it be? And then I see Justin Bogey on there. State government's New Year's resolution should be to take less from Alabamians in 2022. So he's already made that decision.
Well, you know, it's one of the things that this is going to be an interesting legislative session, as you know, because normally you go in and they're all talking about, well, we've got to figure out how to pay for this or how to pay for that. This is one session where paying for stuff is not the problem. It's really figuring out what do we do with the surplus we've had. And, of course, you and I have talked about this a great deal. But, I think it's one of those things where we have a chance to do a lot of stuff, but maybe also give the citizens of Alabama a break with, there's talk about, you know, removing the state grocery tax or even state property tax or alleviating some of the personal income tax for lower income or retired folks. A lot of options out there of what to do with this surplus that we're expected to have for the next couple of years.
Let's do the breakdown of the revenue streams right to a state level. And you mentioned property tax. Now, property tax in Alabama, I think we're the lowest, if not second lowest, in the nation. Right? I don't know if we address. If we look at a triage list, I don't know if that's at the top. But you mentioned that grocery tax one, and it's great to hear other people in the state. I've been banging on this this gavel for a decade here that this is the one we need to go with because it's a reduction in taxes and it affects everybody. But those working poor, the people that are working but having to bust hump to make it work in this state, they're hit the hardest by this. And it's a shame that we still do this, a full freight sales tax on groceries.
And I forgot the total. You may know the number of states that don't have a tax on groceries. Yeah, the two things that's almost unavoidable to buy are groceries and gasoline. Mm-hmm. And, of course, our legislature put that increase in gas tax, which I think another 2 cents went into play in October. And I think that's one they could suspend. I'm not saying end it, but we've got the money for infrastructure that was supposed to go to. So why not put a pause on it? But grocery, you're absolutely right. That's not, everybody has to buy groceries, and that's a simple one that I think we really wouldn't feel right now, again, with the situation we're in. But that would be the biggest help to low income, as you said, but to everybody. That's just across the board break for people to keep more money in their pockets when they go to the store.
Yeah, and people don't misunderstand this because I'll talk about this and I'll get text here to the station, right? And they're like, well, how's the state with no sales tax? How's the state supposed to? I said, no, on groceries. On groceries. And by the way, it was like, I think it's 10 or less. It used to be 13 states had some taxes on groceries, but they weren't all full freight. You know, they were diminished. It was only South Dakota, Alabama, and Mississippi that had full freight sales tax on groceries. I think Mississippi amended that a year or two ago. So I think it only leaves South Dakota and us that, you know, charge full, you know, the full tax on it.
Yeah, that sounds right. And it's one that the state really wouldn't feel. That's the thing. And, you know, what I keep hearing from legislators and all these ideas, they go, yeah, well, if we do that, then we're going to have to do something to replace that money. Well, you don't. You've got more money than you know what to do with right now. Maybe down the road you got to figure out what to do to replace that money. But right now, again, we've pointed this out time and time again. This is not going to be a legislation where it's, oh, my gosh, how do we pay for something? It's going to be, what do we do with the money that we have?
Well, they're not going to come bring it back to us, Ray. I mean, you know, let's be frank, right? We're not all going to get a check from Montgomery.
Well, I'm. You can be hopeful. I mean, we just had Santa Claus come visit. Maybe they'll come again. Maybe he'll come again in January.
it's right. Get that check. Hey, let's talk about session. I mean, I think we're like 10 days out or 12 days out from session. It's not far. And this idea, and you and I talked about it last time, that when you have an election year, that you get a smaller schedule of items to debate, or if they are things on there, they're things that aren't contentious, and they seem to wrap things up quickly so they can get back to fundraising, right? I mean, that's kind of what we should expect normally?
Yeah, I mean, that's the normal procedure. Is this the year you don't do a lot? I think even in the special session they just finished up, as I'm told, they put some placeholder bills in there to carry over until next January because nobody wants to touch those items this time with the election coming up.
So what do they tackle? I mean, the constitutional carry, we know, is going to be right. That's one that gets talked about here a bunch. But beyond that, getting at the meat of things, other than like having some resolution to change the state flower or something like that, what are we doing?
Well, I think broadband's got to be something that really needs to be addressed, and that's a real difficult issue because we've seen, particularly in the last 2 years with home education, that there's so much of the state doesn't have access to broadband or certainly not to quality broadband. And that's a tough one because it's from a business model, it doesn't make sense for some of the providers. They don't, it's a greater expense to put broadband out in the country based on what your return is. So what does the state do? How does the state help get broadband out there? I do think you're going to see gambling come up again because it never dies. I think Medicaid expansion will come up because it never dies. We talked about the permitless carry bill that seems to be gaining a lot of momentum. The sheriffs oppose it, of course. It's a source of revenue for them. They're the ones that keep the money from the licensing. There'll be a lot of other feel-good, the critical race theory. There's a gender bill being proposed. Most of those are that they can go out and campaign.
Yeah.
We tried to do this. I'm not saying they're not legitimate bills, but they're more the feel-good stuff than the real nuts and bolts that are going to help people's lives on a daily basis.
Yeah, the school system, the state school board's already pushed back on CRT. So, when these bills come up about CRT, it's going to be a bit of piling on. It's going to be it's popular, but the threat's been mitigated on that.
Yeah. We've seen the local school boards have stood up, and even the state school boards withdrawn from the National Association based on this issue. And quite frankly, I believe that schools ought to be handled at the local level by a local school board. And if they want a less than standard curriculum, that's up to the parents in that community. But I do think that the parents ought to be the ones to set the tone for what they're teaching. And I think we've seen that throughout the state. So you're right. That's more of a let's slam the barn door after the horse has already been put to bed and in the stall, but we can claim we've locked him in there now.
I like that. Well put. Just joining us, talking to Ray Bellick with 1819news.com. And in this session, you mentioned gambling coming back up. Here we were this time last year with then Senate Pro Tem Del Marsh, or maybe he had stepped down from Pro Tem, but Del Marsh saying he had the bill. This was the one, this was going to bring all the groups together. And we watched that thing, just fall apart. The wheels come off of it. How does it look? Y'all research this? What's it going to look like this year?
Yeah, I don't know. Of course, it got out of the Senate and the House. It died. I know there's still a pretty good bit of opposition in the House. But they keep, it's just one of those things that you keep hammering on people until you finally, you hope the opposition just wears down and throws up their hands and say, fine, let's go with it. Whether it's lottery, the push now is for more casino gambling. It will be interesting to see how far they're willing, the pro-gambling proponents are willing to push this in the legislature in what is an election year. When quite frankly, I don't know if people are really sure down deep of what the people of Alabama want. Or do they really want it or not? I think certainly more people are accepting of the idea now than they were 20 years ago last time we voted on it, and it was voted down. But do they really want to risk putting it out there for a vote again, or how do they feel like they really the majority of Alabamans feel? And I think there's a lot of uncertainty about that. That's why I have a feeling it'll be discussed, it'll be debated, it'll be kicked around, and probably nothing will be done.
Yeah, listen, there's so many layers of old paint on this discussion in our state, but the one I tell people the measure to look at, if they're going to be honest arbiters, and I know all the reasons it can't happen, I get told, but they would bring them separately. If they would bring a separate lottery bill is one thing, casino gambling is another thing, and sports is another thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that if they do that, then they, because people say, well, if we don't attach these to the lottery, they won't pass. Then the people don't want them. Then
right.
You need to bring them individually and see. I mean, we can handle it. We're bright kids. give us three bills to look at.
And here's the other thing. It used to always be, well, this is to fund education, or this is one time where there's nothing, we don't need anything funding-wise. So this strictly is, do we want to have gambling or do we not? And what form do we want or do we not? And I think you're right. Let the people, if it's lottery, then vote on lottery, and then let's do a separate gambling bill and casino bill and see where it goes. I get the impression, I don't think there's a great desire for expanding casino gambling, but, we've been hammered over the head with lottery, and every state around us has it. I just wonder if people have not just gotten tired of the debate, and that may be something they're willing to pass on. I really don't know. It'll be interesting to see, as I said, what these guys in January, when they get together, how far and how they're willing to stick their toe out there and see what the political winds blow.
I know we'll be talking about it with you come January, coming up next week. Remind folks who have not checked out 1819news.com, what are y'all all about and how do they find you?
Sure, 1819news.com. We're on the internet, free source of daily news. We've got a good editorial page. We're still expanding our staff. We're going to be adding some podcasts here in January in the first of the year. You can also sign up for the a Daily Digest newsletter would come out first thing in the morning to give you all the highlights of what you need to know to get into the day and get going. So just simply go to 1819news.com, read us there. If you like it, sign up for the newsletter, and look forward to some great new things in this coming year.
Ray, as always, I appreciate our conversations. Y'all stay safe up there. Seriously, keep your heads down.
Thank you, Sean. And if you find some sausage, stick away an extra pack for me.
I'll do it. There he is, editor-in-chief of 1819 News and fan of Kadeka sausage, Ray Belling. Thanks, man.
See ya.
Coming right back. We'll grab your phone calls and text at 343-0106. A couple the end-of-the-year stories that'll be stories come up next year. Like, how about the mission to keep trash from blowing out of the back of your pickup? Have you seen this one? Let's talk about that, too, when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Sorry, finishing up my shopping list. A lot of people get excited about their Christmas shopping. The boy and I, my son and I, have been calculating our explosive shopping, our fireworks shopping. So just making the list. Because if you don't make kind of a list and a budget, and you happen to be of my bloodline, you go in and you're like, I know we said the budget was this, but holy cow, there was the Mr. Explosion here. I had to get that one. So I'm trying to keep myself to a list for the explosives this year. Also, update on the Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl. Right, Duke. I think it's the Duke Mayonnaise Bowl. What is it? South Carolina versus North Carolina, 35. South Carolina, 35. North Carolina, 21. I'm kind of worried about another game coming up. A big game coming up. Roll Tide. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to segue here. So 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So that's my buddy Trey. I've been talking to you about him for a long time. Local guy, big company you know the name of, but it's run locally. It has been for 14 years in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Trey works right alongside other people from Mobile and Baldwin counties. His son works with the crew. They've worked here at the station. They've worked storage unit. They've worked at my house. They've worked at a lot of y'all's places as well. And it's a great deal. It's the end of the year. Maybe a New Year's resolution is getting the junk out of your house. You know, it's a lot easier to be organized when there's less things. So maybe you want to check that out by having 1-800-GOT-JUNK stop by. Easy to make the appointment. You'll find a window of time that works for you. So when you call them or you go online, they'll say, okay, what day works for you? You're like, oh, Tuesday. What window of time? And you say that, and then they make an appointment. Like the good old-fashioned way. They show up when they say they're going to show up. And you point to the stuff you want gone. They quote you a price. If you say yes, they get at it and get it done right then. And it's just a great bunch of people to work with. Trustworthy folks, friendly folks, polite, courteous. You look at the reviews of them here locally. That's you see that over and over again. And also a buddy of mine, good folks. Trey and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And why I said I was going to segue that story, and we'll talk probably more about this after we come back from the news update. But yeah, I heard discussion this morning on Mobile Mornings with Leanna and Dalton, and this initiative. And this, I knew this initiative was coming when I had the mayor in about a month ago, month and a half ago, and the mayor was specifically like looking out the window at my truck in the parking lot and saying, you know, Sean, we keeping on this litter thing. We got to make sure that pickups aren't the stuff blowing out of the back of a pickup. A story from PMI says the city of Mobile is on a mission to reduce the amount of litter caused by trash that blows out of pickup trucks in an effort to reduce the amount of trash on our roads and waterways. About 53% of roadside litter is generated by motorists, which is where does the rest of it come from? 53% of roadside litter generated by motorists. Where's the other 47% come from? Is it come from the urban outdoorsmen that are here around airport in 65? I mean, who? I'm sorry, I get stuck on stories, but I mean, 53% of roadside litter generated by motorists. Where the heck is it? Is it falling from the skies? They go on the story and say, if you drive a pickup truck, you're dang right I do, you can help reduce truck bed trash by stowing all your trash in a can before hitting the road or installing a receptacle in your truck bed to collect trash. We'll come back and talk about this. Also, I'd be speaking to distant kinfolk of mine. Make sure you throw the beer can the whole way over the back and get it into the truck bed so it doesn't go on the side of the road.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Yeah, my buddy Angelo and I were busy talking during the news there about getting some corned beef or corned venison or this process. People don't know. I mean, you're a Renaissance man, from gold and silver and discussions of history to being in the food world, man. You're doing this corning. I mean, it looks really good. Angelo sent me pictures of what he's preparing to cook, and man, it looks fine.
Well, I mean, a couple weeks ago we were talking about that. You know, we were talking off the air about all of this, and you know, you think about it, processing meats and curing meats, that was a way of preserving things years and years ago. So, you know, all these people talking about living off the grid or what happens when the economy crashes, all these different things. Well, one of the things ultimately you would need to have to do is be able to process and preserve meat. So you go out there and you shoot a deer. Well, that's great if you're going to cook it and eat it right now.
Right.
But in order to process it and preserve it, there's a technique to that. And it's not hard. They've been doing it for hundreds and hundreds of years. So I've started playing with some of this on my own, and turns out pretty good. And it's they like to make it sound really difficult. It's a lot easier than you think. And you got to sort of take a deep breath and go, wait a minute. If they were doing this 300 years ago in a smokehouse in the woods with no thermometer or anything, do I really have to get that picky today?
Yeah, good point. Because, yeah, I mean, I was that kind of way. I was scared off of the process. I was like, well, it's going to be too much. But it really, really isn't. It looks good. So I'm adding that to my list of things to learn to do in 2022. So that's going to be on my New Year's resolution list, to learn that. Let's talk about New Year's resolutions to come on in and start learning about precious metals. If somebody is saying, you know, I hear Angelo talking about all this time, and Ron, what's the story? Where are we with prices right now? Kind of, and what do you see for the precious metals market going forward?
Well, you know, I don't want to do the doom and gloom thing like a lot of people do out there, but if you look at what's going on in the economy, you look at what's going on in the economy about a decade ago when gold and silver did start to run, gold and silver were relatively soft. They ran up to about the $12, $14 range on silver, sort of sat there for a while, and then it took off and went up to almost 50 bucks. It looks like we're in that same position right now with what's going on with the economy, with, you know, cheap money, free money out there. I know money's not free, but you can't tell some of these people that. There is a cost, and that cost is going to hit us at some point. That's why a lot of people have been getting into gold and silver over the course of the last year, and a lot of people are making that their New Year's resolution to start doing that this upcoming year. And I've always told people, it's like, if you're hesitant and you keep putting it off, just come in every payday and buy 1 ounce of silver.
Mm-hmm.
Don't strain yourself. Don't stress yourself. Just dip your toes in the pond. Try it. If you're excited, you like it, you're telling your friends about your gold and silver, and you're following the market, then keep doing it. If it's something that's really making you feel uncomfortable, you don't get it, then take a break again. But don't dive into the middle of the pool and then look around trying to figure out what to do.
I think that's sage advice. I mean, we're talking about, you know, whether you say it's a dollar cost average or just risk mitigation, you know, it's right on.
Well, and I think that's something that, it's something over the course of the last year I've tried to take on to many aspects of my life. You know, even something as silly as what we were talking about a second ago, trying to cure meats. Well, it's not, oh my gosh, I'm going to take and cure a whole deer. No, I'm going to take one little piece of meat and try to cure it. And if it works, great. I will expand upon my success. And it's the same way with buying gold and silver, investing in precious metals, collecting coins. Start small. Embrace your accomplishments and then let them slowly grow. You don't have to dive in.
It's great. And educators, y'all are. I mean, whether it's on the radio show or it's in person, y'all have done that for me over the years. I want you to do it for other folks. So talk about that. If people need to come find you in person for that, or check out the radio show or all the other places y'all are, how do they find you?
Yeah, in the real world, right here in Midtown Mobile, 2204 Government Street. Of course, you can go online, mobilebitcoins.com. You can like and follow us on Instagram or on Facebook. If you want to listen to us every Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5, we'd love to have you listening in, 6 to 7 p.m. If you miss that by some crazy chance, go to Two Guys and Some Change and check out that website and listen to the back issues of our radio show.
Great stuff, Angelo. And Happy New Year to you and everybody else at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry.
And Happy New Year to you guys, too.
All right. And I'm coming by to pick up some meat here shortly.
Sounds like a plan. We got it ready for you.
Good deal. There's Angelo. All right. I want to get a couple texts in here. And these are coming off that story from WPMI about the city of Mobile on the mission to reduce trash that blows out of pickup trucks. Listen, that's a good thing. I mean, whether does it peeve me at the same level of watching the person roll down the window and dropping the fast food bag out of their car? No, because that makes me like see red. But seeing stuff blow out of the back of trucks is not good. And I guarantee you, I've driven most of my life, with the exception of maybe two vehicles I've ever had, have been pickups. I had a Bronco 2, talk about old school. I saw one of those for sale the other day. Bronco 2 and a Jeep Cherokee. Everything else has been a pickup that I've ever driven. And I got to tell you, I'm probably not without sin, right? That stuff's blown out of the back of my truck. I don't want to do that. It's not okay. I mean, if litter's bad, then litter's bad. I still am stuck on the stat that said 53% of roadside litter is generated by motorists. I wonder where the rest of it comes from. I guess pedestrians walking down the side of the road, maybe. So the campaign encourages drivers of pickups to make an online pledge to properly stow their trash. Mobile has partnered with several local organizations and businesses to get the message out. And so there it is. Here's the pledge, or the fast facts. Okay, stowing trash helps everybody. By the way, too, and I think they're working with the folks that do the litter blows campaign that they always do, like during the rodeo. That's an important thing, too. You got trash left in your boat. I mean, all you have to do is look at the bridge at Dolphin Island to see how much stuff blows out of boats. Yeah, stash that. That's good. Said, stowing trash helps everybody. Clean communities have a better chance of attracting new residents, new businesses, and tourists. Yes. 85% of littering is a result of individual attitudes. Motorists generate 53% of litter. Almost 29% of truck drivers are aware of unsecured trash flying out of their truck beds. It takes plastic bottles 450 years to decompose in the environment. And litter cleanup costs the U.S. about, well, $11.5 billion a year, with businesses paying $9.1 billion and taxpayers picking up the remainder. So maybe this is a good reminder. I was wondering when the ARPA money came out and there was a discussions at the city of, you know, where it was being spent, and part of it was for litter education. I may have thrown a little bit of a tantrum and said, come on, everybody knows you're not supposed to litter. I mean, that's, you know, once you're 7 years old, you know you're not supposed to litter. But maybe things like this just to remind folks that have the right heart, you know, to not let stuff blow out of the back of the trash. I mean, back of the truck. All right, Billy Bob and Fairhope ticket garbage trucks because they get all the trash. This unnamed texter says the rest of the garbage comes from dumpster trucks, which don't secure what's already been dumped in their truck. Yeah, that's got to be a part of it. Jerry in Fort Morgan, if I get a ticket for something blown out of my truck, will the new bill prevent the state from revoking my privilege to drive? I don't think they're going to have a ticket, but I'd say it's not a bad thing, Jerry. I mean, you can have the reaction, but if the city's just saying, hey, we're reminding folks to look in the back of your truck before you go riding down the road, I don't think that's a bad thing. Let's see, Thomas in Irvington talking about shortages. I'm trying to find corned beef brisket. I didn't even look at your text. I was talking to Angelo about it. I'm trying to find corned beef brisket to cook for New Year's. I've been to 5 different grocery stores and can't find one. You'll have a happy New Year and roll, Tide, roll. Absolutely. Sean says empty beer cases get airborne about 70 miles per hour. Guess what? It does, and if you have a crosswind, Sean, that's can be an issue as well. They can jump out at lower speeds. The brisket thing, I'm on this. I'm on the brisket thing. I'm going to try to do this. Okay, get that done. I thought this was some impossible thing, and then it's beautiful. You can go on YouTube. You listen to Angelo, and then go on YouTube, and you can do your own corn venison or corned beef. So Grant says I'm going to say hog season's wide open night and day. Talk about sausage. Take it to Stuckey's and Sims to process. Are they still doing that? Because Grant, it's always been an issue when you had hogs and you go to a facility that processes regular livestock. I don't know the situation right there, but I know some places would be like, nah, we can't take it because X, Y, and Z. If Stuckey's doing it, I know those folks, good folks there. That'd be a good thing. I think I did take them hogs many decades ago. Let's see if we can get it made into delicious sausage just in time. All right, coming back, and Ed Rowan, Taylor Martino is going to join me here on Midday Mobile. Reminded y'all to have a happy new year. Buckle the seatbelts. Don't drink and drive. I want y'all all back here on Monday. Tomorrow, Fisher House will be on. But I want y'all all back here. Be safe. Be safe out there. And I know it sounds like a cliche throwaway, but just think about it for a second. Say, is this worth it, right?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, welcome back to Midday Mobile. Hanging out with my buddy Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino Rowan. Good to see you again.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good. And happy holidays to you and the crew at Taylor Martino Rowan.
Thank you. Thank you. We're exchanging gifts, partaking in all the holiday festivities, and right. Running around town, you know, trying to avoid the crazies out there a little bit.
Right. Well, sometimes you get, I want to get into that in a second because sometimes you can't do that. But I want to say that in our conversation before we went on here, you and I are both out on the roads much. I mean, we've got the Christmas party circuit. I'm not going to comment how much of that I like, but the Christmas party circuit keeps you busy and out there, you know, night after night.
It's a busy time. It's a stressful time. There's definitely more traffic than at any other time of the year, in my opinion. I mean, I think the statistics support that, but it's crazy. Everywhere I go, there's the stress level. You can cut it with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I have to make the decision that I'm not going to get irritated by a lot of drivers who are doing irritating things.
So you generally stay off airport and the service road?
As best I can. I try to stay home, but if I try to stay off airport. But if you're on airport, if you're going in any of those roads, you just kind of have to assume that you're going in a hot zone, like you're going in a war zone.
Right.
Like I'm going to have to.
You're going to teach situational awareness to the rest of the family?
Exactly. Like, you know, I'm going through, you know, downtown Fallujah.
Right.
But I'm going to make it out of there. Okay. So don't strap on your 50 cal on top of your car. But that's what you're doing. You have to have that mindset that, hey, you know, I don't want to get in the car, but I have to go to Aunt Faye's Christmas party here. And I got to drive through downtown Fallujah. So I just need to chill out and get through there. Now, that does not mean act like a Marine that he would going through downtown Fallujah. That just means it's not going to be a fun ride. Get ready for it. And, you know, take a figurative chill pill.
That's right. You know, we're laughing about this, but it's a stress everybody goes through shopping and going to those parties. But something you've talked about for years on the show with me, a very serious subject this time of year. The number you're talking about, the stats showing more traffic, but also shows more people drinking and driving, but be it Christmas parties or whatever. There's more of these people on the road that are drunk.
Right. There's just more drinking around this time of year leading up to Christmas at the Christmas parties, and certainly New Year's. And, you know, Mobile, we are a fun town, mm-hmm. and, you know, we like our adult beverages, but it's so important that we drive responsibly. And there's no reason to get a DUI or get on the road drunk anymore when we have Uber and Lyft. And I'll give them, you know, a free advertisement for that. I mean, call Uber or Lyft. And, you know, we're really serious about that at my law firm, about people not getting on the road using Uber and Lyft. And we're so serious about it that we've agreed that during the holiday season, if somebody has a situation where they can't drive because they've been partaking and they have to get a ride home, we will reimburse their ride home with Uber or Lyft. They can get in touch with us, send us a bill, and we'll reimburse
them. Wait a second. So you go to Aunt Faye's, you have one too many cocktails at Aunt Faye's, as can happen, and you say, I can't get behind that wheel, I'm unsafe. You take the Uber, you take the Lyft, you print out the receipt and bring it to y'all at Taylor Martino Rowan? Or I mean, what are you talking about?
No, I can tell you're getting excited.
Like, yeah, well, I'm planning.
You're going to get your 18-pack of beer, and you're going to go to New Orleans and spend the day and come back. But no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like a ride home, Sean.
Right.
But absolutely. So, you know, what is a ride home, $20 or $30 or whatever?
Yeah, so that so if somebody's listening now, that they get in that situation, kind of put this in your memory bank, get that Uber or Lyft or drink, take you home, and then – that you just, they'll bring you the receipt, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one more
good way
potential
to step up.
Deadly accident or I mean, and a DUI for the person that's committing the bad act, that's averted when you do that. And so we would be glad to do that during the holiday season. And if we don't, I mean, if we won't honor it, I mean, you know, you've got the ability to write reviews, say we're a bunch of liars, but I'm not lying. I'm serious.
No, that's a heck of a move and great move for the community, great move at the holidays. And yeah, I mean, you're the, because people think about this and say, I mean, you and I've known each other forever and talked, but they'll say, well, he's an attorney. He wants these things to happen to get people in situations where he's got to go after them.
Right. If I was a better businessman, I would probably encourage yeah. people to yeah. drink and drive and get in serious wrecks, because when those kind of wrecks come to me, you know, the ones that are, you know, I hate to say it, worth more money is because there's been greater damage, you know, greater injuries or death or whatever. So pretty much every time I meet my clients, you know, I say, you know, it's a pleasure to meet you. And it is a pleasure to meet you. But, you know, I say, you know, under these difficult circumstances, but I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. Nobody comes to you with the case because everything's great. I mean, that's just the nature of your job.
No, because of the person that I was raised to be by my mom and dad and you know, my faith, I don't want anyone to be hurt. I wish I could snap my fingers and undo harm that was done to someone. And I would trade that for any fee in the world. And because it's just not worth it. But unfortunately, that's not what happens.
Yeah.
And so I have to deal with those tragedies that, you know, I think about when I'm on the road there. I can't say that I'm a perfect driver, but just, you know, I pass by places like I did the other day. I'm not on Howells Ferry a lot, but I passed by a really bad crash, that happened on Howells Ferry. And I mean, that was like 6-7 years ago. And I remember that's where it happened, right there.
You still remember that spot?
Oh, yeah. I still remember.
Those things kind of get in your memory when you see something like that.
It does. I mean, I'm not going to say it's, you know, it's like a Marine flashback or anything, but I mean, it's a memory of mine and something bad happened there. And so that just reminds me that we all need reminders to behave myself, you know, to calm down, to don't rush. I mean, so what if you're a little bit late?
That is another part of this. We got into talking about people that are getting drunk and driving, but just rushing, and that happens. I mean, you go, oh gosh, we got to get over there because we got to go to that party and get to the next one, and we got to go pick up, you know, so and so. That's real, man.
I think speeding is just as bad, if not worse, than drunk driving under some circumstances. So, okay. I mean, if you're excessively speeding where people pull out all the time, and you know that because you travel through there, then it's like Russian roulette, because you are going so fast that they're not going to see you. And you know, people are pulling out because you're familiar with that area. So how is that really different than drunk driving, that, you know, when you're intoxicated, you know that you can't see and react the same that you can when you're sober. So they're very similar.
Interesting
in my
analog.
Book.
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way. Both of them decrease your ability to react to the things in front of you.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's speeding is terrible, and that's what people do most of, I would say, during the holidays. I think more people do, you know, they use Uber and things like that during the holiday. But certain, I mean, you know, people think that, oh, well, I'm not drinking and driving, I'm just speeding, that's not that bad. Well, the consequences can be the same or worse. I mean, I know probably a lot of people that do drink and drive, they probably think, well, as long as I go under the speed limit, I'm fine. You know, I mean, I mean,
but you're making a good point. And it doesn't have speeding does not have the stigma with most people. Not doing what y'all do at Taylor Martino Rowan, you see the effects. But with most people, speeding does not have the stigma that driving under the influence does.
Right, right. Well, you know, if someone gets a DUI, you know, that's a big deal. That's kind of a black mark on them. You know, but if someone has an extremely high ticket or something like that, or if they get into a wreck when they've been speeding, you know, that doesn't follow them for the rest of their life, you know. But both of them can have deadly consequences, and it's really undetermined which one is going to have the worst consequence. You can't really say if I drink versus if I speed, which one is going to be worse. It just depends on, you know, how unlucky you are that day.
You got a lot of people thinking out there, Ed, on a new way to look at these things. And I appreciate your offer here as well through Taylor Martina Rowan, that if somebody is in that situation and you do need that Uber or Lyft ride home, that y'all will take care of that ride to get them home. As always, man, appreciate y'all. Appreciate what you do. And thanks for coming in this holiday season, hanging out with me.
Thanks, Sean. Enjoy your Christmas parties galore.
You can contact the Taylor Martino Rowan Law Firm at 251-433-3131 or search online Taylor Martino Rowan. No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.